Welcome back to Let's Talk Guthrie County. James Martins here. Pleased to be joined by Rod Stanley once again. He's a board member on the Guthrie County Historical Village Foundation and Museum Board. Love to have him on for our monthly chats as this is the 50th anniversary, so we're making a special focus to kind of include a different aspect of the museum as well as programs going on. So Rod, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, James, for having me again.
Yeah, so first of all, Rod, just wanted to get a recap on the Eagles and Lead event that you had there last month. Tell me how you went and what the reaction was.
It went really well. Kay always puts on an excellent program and had a live eagle there that's basically she takes to programming and so on. And the idea of using steel shot over lead shot is still something that people are converting to, and hopefully the ones that attended that program would maybe change their minds about it or even think about it a little bit.
Fantastic. So now we got another program coming up actually on Saturday. It's the Saving Our Cemeteries program. And you're going to be cleaning up a cemetery out there in Cass Township. Why don't you talk to us about that program?
Okay, yeah. Hey, it's going to be held at the Greenwood Pioneer Cemetery, which is located about a mile east of Panora on Viceroy Road. It's the first road going south off of Highway 44. But we've got, I think, 9 or 10 people signed up for it. And what we're going to be doing out there is basically probably cleaning a lot of stones, but I'll be showing them a little bit about how to repair broken tablet stones and maybe re-leveling some bases and re-leveling some stones. And we will be furnishing the cleaning materials, which is a special material called D2 that we use on particularly the marble stones, which most of these stones are that we'll be working with. Works really fantastic. Amazing chemical that's basically biologically safe. You don't have to wear gloves. Doesn't hurt the environment, but it does an amazing job of cleaning these stones up. And it's really quite fascinating to watch these stones that hadn't been, there's stones that are over 100 years old, and you start wiping dirt and grime off of them that's been there for 100 years. It's probably the first time that they've ever been cleaned. Anyway, that's going to be from 9 o'clock until noon on the 14th of July. If you haven't signed up for it, I encourage you to go to a Facebook page for the Guthrie County Museum or call Christine up at the museum in Panora to register a spot. We'll take anybody that wants to come, but we just need to know kind of a count of how many people are going to be there so we can have enough spray bottles and things like that to get the job done. But it's going to be fun. I've been doing this over in the Dexter Cemetery and the West Cotty Cemetery in Redfield, and it's very self-gratifying to do that, to go out there and to do some things to help the community.
Great service project opportunity and a way to give back to the local Guthrie County community, so we'll make sure to take advantage of that. You need an address with more information, go on to raccoonvalleyradio.com. We got it all up there for you. Now, Rod, of course, we bring you on every single month to talk about a particular aspect of the museum, and today we're talking about the Panora Depot. Why don't you give us the background on that?
Yeah, the depot is one of the main buildings on the campus there at the historical village. It was moved there in 1968, which is the 50th year. In fact, I think it might have been one of the first buildings or the first building that was actually moved to the complex. But this museum that's there was actually the second depot to serve the community of Panora. The first depot was built in 1884 in the northern part of Panora, and then it was destroyed prior to 1902. And then this museum, that's the one that's on the campus, is the one that they rebuilt it with. It's interesting when you talk about the railroad. The first railroad to go through Panora was a narrow gauge railroad, and narrow gauge means that it was less than what the standard gauge railroad today, and they still use it, is 4 feet 8 inches between the rails, the distance. This narrow gauge was actually 3 foot. If you do some investigation on this, you'll find out that probably at one time in the United States, there's probably 11 different gauges. It made it rather difficult to, if your cars weren't the right gauge, to go on somebody else's tracks and things like that. And it was actually called the Des Moines Northwestern Railroad. And like I said, the gauge they chose was a 3 foot gauge. The reason they did that was because it was cheaper. It cost probably 40% less to use this narrow gauge. This 4 foot 8 standard gauge, and I don't know whether you know this, James, was, and when I talk to people in programs about it, is actually the width of a Roman chariot. So I don't know if the people that started to do the standard gauge, but that's the standard gauge today. That's what railroads are today, is the 4 foot 8 inches, but it's actually the width of a Roman chariot. This actually went from Des Moines to Panora to a place called Fonda up in northwest Iowa, and it was 113 miles long, and it was actually the longest narrow gauge railroad in Iowa. Eventually, this railroad was taken over by the Milwaukee line, although it was actually the Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Paul, Pacific. People basically around this area called it the Milwaukee line. And it's actually the same route that's now used for the Raccoon River Valley Trail. One of the interesting aspects about this line that went through Panora was the Milwaukee sponsored a weekend trip, which you could get on the train in Des Moines and all the points in between, like Adel, Redfield, Panora, and so on. And it actually, you could go up to the Iowa Great Lakes. You could go up for the day. They would take you up in the morning. You could spend the day at Lake Okoboji or Spirit Lake and then get on the train and travel back, which to me just sounds so cool. But anyway, getting back to the depot, it's a fascinating place. It's been completely refurbished on the inside. It had two waiting rooms, a ladies' waiting room and a men's waiting room. In talking with Alex Kruger, who's basically the expert, he's the president of the board, and he knows a lot about railroads, and he was telling me about there was the two separate waiting areas, and I was asking him why that was, why they separated the men and the women, and he said that basically it was because sometimes the men used foul language, men were smoking, and there was a lot of spitting going on. They didn't want to expose the women to those nasty things that the men were doing. And then in the center room of the depot, and they've got it set up as such, was a depot agent, and that was where the telegraph key was located, and where they sent all these messages by telegraph. You had something to send quickly, they used the telegraph. I mean, they didn't have telephones yet, they didn't have radios yet, so the telegraph was the quickest way to do that. But the other thing about the telegraph, it cost you for every word that you sent too. So sometimes messages were kind of shortened up. On the outside of the depot today, we have a signaling semisphere, is what they call it. And that basically was to signal trains that were coming through. And basically you had, like I said, they had no telephones or radios or communication. That was the communication for a train coming through Panora, to basically stop or slow down or to go on your way. Each had a different color, but we do have that on display outside the museum. I found this interesting too. If they needed a written message passed, and evidently the train would have to slow down some to be able to do this, but I was just reading about this before I came down here, and it said if written messages were passed from the ground to a moving train by using a Y-shaped stick, which the conductor caught as the train passed the depot. You need to understand at this point about how important the railroads were to these towns. You just about had to have a railroad in order to be successful. There were several towns in Guthrie County, like Dale City and places like that, that didn't have the train that eventually didn't last because of the fact that it didn't get the supplies, the people, to come into their towns. Very mighty important aspect of transportation back in those days. The Guthrie County High School was in Panora at that time, and there were a lot of students that traveled by train on weekends out of Guthrie County and going back to their respective homes. Because of the train, and at one time there were 6 hotels in Panora, which you find that when you go to Panora today, you find that kind of hard to believe. Just really a lot of neat artifacts and things to look at. I encourage people to come out. The summer's still young. Bring your kids out to see this. Bring your families out. If you're up in the Panora area, come visit the museum because there's a whole lot of history there.
And as we always say here, we take a step back in time whenever Rod joins us here on the Let's Talk Guthrie County program. Once again, he's a board member on the Guthrie County Historical Village Museum and Foundation Board. Rod, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, for Let's Talk Guthrie County, this has been James Martins.